Pava said the issue whether the playing of instruments is an essential part of the carbon is actually machlokes tanoim. Mishnah says, Reb Meir says that the instrument players were servants of the kahanim. Reb Yossi says they were yidden from families with pure lineage who could marry kahanim, but even Yisraelim. Reb Chanina ben Antigna said that they were levim. Presumably, Reb Meir must hold that the instrument playing is not essential, and that's why even avodim could have done it, and Reb Chanina must hold that it is, and that's why he held that levim had to have done it. In fact, more based on that assumption, what does Reb Yossi hold? If it's essential, only levim should be allowed to do it. If it's not essential, even the servant should be allowed to do it. Then for the Gemara, so the Gemara says all agree that the instruments are not essential. The Machlokes is regarding what actually took place. The importance of the Machlokes is regarding whether we say that one who is on the singing platform, on the Duchan, playing meaning playing an instrument, are they automatically assumed to be of pure lineage? And whether we can assume that one can give his meister to him, or whether no assumptions are made at all. Meaning, if you hold Savvadim, then no assumptions are made at all. If you hold that there was the Yisraelim who were Muchasim, then at least you know they're pure lineage. If you hold that they were Levim, that means you can assume that anyone who's on the platform, you can even give your meister to. Rav Yirmi B'Avitz and Machalekes between Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda and Rabbanon is actually regarding the playing of the instruments for Simchas Pesach Shavuot. Rabbi Yisrael says that even this playing overrides Shabbos, and Rabbanon say it does not even override Yom Tov. However, regarding playing for a carbon, we'll agree that such playing is essential to the carbon and would therefore even override Shabbos. In fact, my braises, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbanan argue with regard to the playing of the instruments at the Beis HaShoeva. This refutes Rabbi Yosef's understanding of the Machalikas. He said that they only argue regarding the playing for Karbonis. So, Tuyufta to Rabbi Yosef, Tuyufta. Frak the Gemara, must we say that they all agree regarding playing for Kabbanis that it does override Shabbos, in which case Rav Yosef is refuted regarding the second point as well, because he said that there's machlokes regarding the playing of Kabbanis on Shabbos as well. Mara said it may regarding Kabbanis on Shabbos. Mara said it may be that they argue regarding Beis HaShoeva and Shabbos. The reason that the machlokes was said in terms of Beis HaShoeva was to show that Rav Yosef allows Shabbos to be overridden even for this. In fact, our Mishnah says that, that it's the Beis HaShoeva's playing that does not override Shabbos. This suggests that the playing for Kabbanis does. This must follow the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Yosef says even playing for Beis HaShoeva overrides Shabbos. This refutes Rabbi Yosef's view that they argue regarding the playing for the Karbon. So, to Yufta of Rabbi Yosef in this piece as well. To Yufta. The Gemara says the view that the playing of the instruments is essential for the Karbon is based on the pasuk that mentions the playing of instruments right after mentioning the Shir Hashem. The view that the playing of the instruments is not essential for the carbon is based on the pasuk that discusses the Shir and the trumpets, which are not instruments, without making any mention of playing instruments. The view that it's not essential understands the first pasuk as referring to instruments to accompany the singing and thereby improve it, but not as an essential component. The view that it is essential understands the second pasuk as comparing the singing to the trumpets, that they both must be done through a keli, meaning through an instrument. Zok, the Mishnah, one who never saw Simchas Beis HaShoeva, has never seen true joy. On the night following the first day of Yom Tov, the Kahanim and the Levim would go down to Ezras Nashim, where they instituted a great thing. The Mishnah continues, there were golden menorahs there with four golden bowls on top of each of them. Each menorah had a ladder next to it. There were four young Kahanim who were assigned to the menorahs, each kohen holding a pitcher of 120 lug of oil, which they poured into each bowl. The worn-out pants and belts of the Kahanim were used for wicks and to light the fires. There was no courtyard in Yerushalayim that was not lit up from the fires. The Hasidim and Anshe Maaser would dance with fiery torches in their hands while singing Shiras V'Zrish Bochus. The Levim would stand on the 15 steps leading from the Ezra's Noshim to the Ezra's Yisrael with countless instruments. The 15 steps corresponded to the 15 Shir HaMalos in Tehillim. Two Kahanim would stand at the upper gates with the trumpets. When the person in charge of the Kahanim called out, those Kahanim would blow a tekiah through a tekiah. When they reached the 10th step, they blew that again. When they reached the Azara, they blew it again. They continued to blow tekiahs until they reached the gate used to exit on the east. When they reached that gate, they turned back to the west and said, our fathers would face the east and bow to the sun, but our eyes are only towards Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says they would say, we are for Hashem, and our eyes are towards Hashem. Zok de Gemara, a braisa says, one who never saw Simchas Beis HaShoeva has never seen true joy. One who never saw Yerushalayim in its glory never saw a beloved city. One who never saw the Beis HaMikdash as it stood never saw a magnificent building. Frag the Gemara, which Beis HaMikdash is referred to in the braisa? The braisa says it refers to the second Beis HaMikdash, which Rava said was built of green and white marble. Others say it was built of green, blue, and white marble. One row was set in and the next protruded out, and then this design repeated itself, which allowed for the placement of cement. They thought to cover it with gold, but the Rabbanans actually said that it's better without the gold since it gave the look of waves of the sea. Dr. Mara Bryce says, Rabbi Yehuda says, one who never saw the setup of the Shul of Alexandria in Egypt has never seen the honor of the Yidden. It was large enough for 1.2 million people, and a double row of special benches were set up for the aristocrats. There were also 71 golden shears for the large Sanhedrin, each chair made of an enormous amount of gold. A flag would be raised at the appropriate time to say Amen, so that the people who were too far from the Chazan to hear where he was up to would be able to answer. Although all the people would all the people would sit in groups of their trade. This way, poor people with a skill who were looking for a job would know where to go to try to get a job and support their families. Abaye said Alexander the Great killed all these people. They were punished with his death because they were over the pasuk that says that the Yidden should not return to Mitzrayim. Alexander reached Mitzrayim and found the Yidden reading the pasuk that says that Hashem will bring a nation from afar against them. Alexander realized that his ship arrived in Egypt in just 5 days for a trip that should have taken 10 days. He took this as a sign that the Yidden were being given into his hands, and he killed them out.